Today we're taping Mishlei, chapter 10. This is a course on the Ksav Yad, the Rokeach, to say for Mishlei. And Mishlei is divided up into three parts, chapter 1 through chapter 9, mostly dedicated to reasons why you should feel this is an important book to learn in the first place. And then chapter 10 through chapter 24 is the bulk of the advice and aphorisms we give to make life as meaningful as possible so you can be in charge of all of your various tendencies. And then chapter 25 through the end is a much more complicated section of Mishlei by that time of the book, it's only a small, tiny percentage of what this Ksav Yad darshens. The Perush, I must say, like books like, try to figure out why this happens, Rashbam, even Pashtunim like Rashbam, but even Darshanim like the Kli Yakar, and even more modern Mefarshim like Shaddal, the Perush is on five books of the Torah, right? 40% of it is Bereishis. Here we were going with this. 30% is Shmos. 10%, maybe 15% Vayikra. 12%, you know, it just goes down and down. The Perush gets shorter and shorter as it goes on. So what does that mean? That they ran out of steam? Because Bereishis needs more interpretation. Right? Depends on the type of book. If your book is like a Torah Tzmima, Vayikra might be your biggest book, even though it's by far and away the shortest book of the Torah. It's also the size of the book. Bereishis is twice the size of Vayikra. So don't be surprised that someone has twice as much comment on Bereishis as Vayikra. Follow what I'm saying? Okay, anyway, this book is very much like that also. As each parak goes on, this Ksav Yad, this parish also wanes with time. Could be lots of reasons for that, and I suggest a few in the introduction, which I believe we talked about earlier. Okay, so the fact that he would say that the Bein Chacham is Yisrael and the Av is God in Parak Yud Pasuk Aleph, right, so Bein Chacham Yismach Av, there's a very wise son that makes his father happy, and there's a very foolish son that upsets his mother. Okay. Now, for me to assume that he's going in this direction, I'm not. It's replete with its own issues. But throughout this book, the son is Israel. Because this was a huge polemic about God having a son, as you can imagine. And the Rokeach was in the middle of all this. There's no famous disputation where he takes part. He was not famous enough to be involved in that to begin with, at least in the Christian world. But there were very famous Jews, of Rabban, Michiel of Paris, and others who took part a little after this in famous disputation with Christians about why does God talk about his son in the Bible? You're my son, I give birth to you. These are psukim, especially in Tehillim. Chapter 2 and chapter 89 of Tehillim. So the best way that Jews responded to God having a son was that God's son is Israel. B'ni b'chori Israel, after all, God says to Moshe Shetel Paro, right? But more likely is that in Shmuel Bet Perek Zion, when David asks him to build the Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem rebuffs him, right? He says, God tells him in Shmuel Bet, and even more directly in Divrei Hayamim, that you can't build me this Beis HaMikdash. Shmuel Bet doesn't say why not. Divrei Hayamim, he says, Dam LaRov Shafachta. But he says, your son will build this house for me. And he says the following, your son will be like a son to me. I will be his father. He will be like my child. I will discipline him the way a father disciplines a child. If he turns on me and he turns away from my Torah, this is chapter 89 of Tehillim, but 6 or 7 psukim describing how I will afflict him and scourge him and punish him if he turns on me. You know what the Christians do with these 6 psukim? They are.
Yeah, good.
It's the Passion, it's Jesus on the cross. Where it really describes at great length how much he's going to suffer physical, bodily harm if he turns on me. If you ever are confronted with a Christian, because in my opinion, these are the most damaging, because it really looks like it's the Son of God who is going to be punished with the scourge of man, right?
Yeah.
And just take it back to them and say, excuse me, read these verses. Why is he being scourged? Because he didn't listen to my Torah. That's what it says in Shmuel Bet Perek Zayin. And he uses even the same lashon in Tehillim Pei Tes. He uses the same lashon of the whips of man, right? So a Christian is not going to say that Jesus suffered on the cross because of his own sins. Their religious philosophy has a whole different picture of that. It has to do with atoning for the sins of hopelessly sinful man. Why are we hopelessly sinful by necessity? Because of how we were conceived. That's the sin that's put into us. So the only way to get out of that sin is to believe in someone not conceived that way. Right? And then they'll point you to some sort of in Yeshayahu. Right? Which, if you know your Yeshayahu, you'll say that can't be what that means. It's not even talking about a virgin. Right? Many Catholics have turned away from their religion because of the word alma that they were always, of course, taught from the Greek Septuagint, that it means a virgin shall give birth to a child who will save you. Forget about the fact that they didn't save us. He didn't save us from the Assyrians, he certainly didn't save us from the Romans. Right? So, because they see that whenever the word alma appears in the Bible, in the King James version of the translation of the Bible, Alma means young maiden wherever else it appears. Sometimes it's talking about a married woman. But only in Yeshayahu 7:14 doesn't mean the Sula. Right? So I get it. Especially when the Pasuk says Shlomo. And you're talking about a father and a son. With Shlomo, alright, so God is the father, Shlomo is the son, or Shlomo represents Israel. Okay? Alright? The reason why I don't think that the Rukeach ever meant for this Pasuk to go here. Is then who's the mother? I get it. The good son is Yaakov. That's his Bnei Israel. The bad son is Esav. Right? But to the best of our understanding, God doesn't have a partner. The same as... I'm not going to go there. So who's the Shlomo ben Chacham? Zehu Yisrael Yismacha of HaKadosh Baruch. Go read the Devar Acher. Go ahead.
Devar Acher.
Why does a child who's a chacham give his father simcha more than a mother?
So Ela Ha'av Oved
So I think it's probably Over.
Over.
We already know he mixes up dalets and reishes, bases and chafs and. Right, Zions and Dalids. It's probably a reish that just slipped at the bottom there. Ha'av over im b'no ha'chacham. If you look at the context, it has to be over, right? It's not a misspelling. No, it should be over, and that's what he means for it to be. Ela ha'av over im b'no ha'chacham le'irachod. Go ahead.
Yeah,
Halimud. The ear, well, I don't think it's also another, it's also not Echod, but.
Acher?
Acher, yeah. The ear Acher, or Achar Halimud. Right? Father travels with his son. The ear, no, Hacham, the ear, Achar Halimud. Means he's traveling with his son and they go to hear a shir in the next town. Aviv wrote it.
The Aviv wrote myself ha tovim the same
sama. Okay, that's simple. You see the sin. It's interesting. He's look how he spells the sin. You know, like we do with a modern German, like an e, a lowercase e.
Yeah.
And then you go to the next line. You go to the next line, and he has it. He writes the shin in the more Rashi script.
Yeah.
It's just very interesting because who decided what a shin should look like in the Germanic script? We see that it's 800 years old. They're writing with the shin like that much earlier. It's not the first place. It's all over this.
He does it all the time. Meaning like, mm-hmm. If you okay. go on the column before, on the third line.
Yeah, you see it. Shenemar. Shenemar. One word right after the other.
Yeah.
And if you really wanted to figure out why does he use it sometimes this way and sometimes that way, you're barking up a wrong tree.
You don't think they might have been like...
That's whatever you felt like at the time.
You don't think he thought there's some cabalistic difference or something similar?
If there's a parish on the planet that you would think would do something like that, this is it. But
yeah.
It would be so crazy. Okay, so.
I mean, they definitely don't have different gematrias.
Yeah, but it's just it's so unusual to use this two different symbols to write what's clearly the same thing.
I mean, people had the different K before.
I don't know. So okay, but this is a parshanut question.
Yeah.
Why is the Ben Chacham should make his father happy, but a foolish son is anguish for his mother? Why should that be so?
Because the father is the one that travels with him to the city to like bring him to share and things.
Right. But he doesn't really. Let's see if he satisfies us in the other direction to tell us why a foolish son makes his mother upset more than his father. Right.
So there's another the Rasha Mishle Shlomo being Chacham, or she was Machshev
or Hashev. You see, but you have to mix it up a little bit, right? You see the four words.
Yeah.
Right. Mem Shin Bet Chaf Ches. So okay.
Misha
Mechashev. V'yifak Fake.
Achrei Ma'asen.
Ben
Chacham.
I think acharei ma'asav should be ma'asav. Ma'asav.
Yeah, I mean, I think he wrote ma'asim, but...
In other words, this is an ikar of Sefer Mishlei, is that you have to give thought to what you're doing. Don't just act on impulse. Everything is to be give some thought. Right? Okay. Right? That's what makes you a Ben Chacham. Uben Ksil Tugat Imo. Now this is an unusual way that whenever he writes something like this, like at the Dibur Maschil as it appears here, you see it?
Mm-hmm.
With those Rosh Tevos signs?
Yeah.
That's usually a sign that he's going to give you some kind of Gematria Rosh Tevos. Right? Not always, because we just had Rosh Tevos before with Mahashev. Tov. Rosh Tevos Toch. Where do you see Toch? B'chein Ksil Tugas, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ubein Ksil Tugas.
Yeah, Toch.
Rosh Tevos Toch. 3, 1, 2.
Yeah.
Bishvil.
The Toch, Umar'eh. That's what that word looks like. Belishmo.
Yeah, so now you see how often this is happening. That word is bilishono, tugas imo. In this one line, there's got like five different mistakes. First of all, he writes it as if though it's tugos imo. It's tugas in the pasuk.
Well, in the next thing, after
the,
yeah.
What is toch?
What
does toch mean?
Yeah.
The word is not umare, can't be mare.
Okay.
So there is a word toch in Hebrew which doesn't mean like betoch in the midst of. That is used, this is what you have to do. This took me a few hours.
Yeah.
Because at first I thought toch means something in the midst of it. So I had to look up the word toch and see is there something that word toch appears with in Tanakh that might make it so that the word really isn't mar'eh but something else. So fun. This is what you have to be. You have to be clever. You have to be a snoop. You have to snoop around. Listen to this pasuk in Tehillim. It says, I have to read the pasuk before. Yomam v'layla yisobuha al chomoseha v'oven v'amo v'kirba. There is iniquity and strife in her midst. Havos v'kirba. There is also havos. These are all synonyms of this type of behavior. V'lo yomish merechova toch umirma. There you have it. V'lo yamish me'rechova toch u'mirma. So the word isn't mare.
Yeah, it's
mirma. When she sees a son, toch is deceit. V'achicha b'mirma v'ikach b'chasecha, right? Mirma, ramot, right? It's from the word mirma. So the word should be mirma. She sees what a. So now the reason why I said before this thing about Christianity and Judaism from the beginning of this parak is because the Yaakov, you see, like, can you fit in here with the Yaakov and Esav stuff going on? Of course, they're okay. It's not fair, because if there is a son of Yitzchak and Rivka who is guilty of Mirma, it's not Esav, it's Yaakov.
Yeah.
Right? Well, if you come to Mirma, right? Alright, well, on this I have Keach, Rashi, Tarmalunculus, who says that Mirma in that pasuk actually means Koch Mesav.
Yeah.
You read, well, if you come to Mirma, your son came with. You know, your brother came with Chacham. He's the Ben Chacham Yaakov is.
Yeah.
Right? If there's anyone with Mirma, it's Esav, who's always tricking his father into thinking he's such a tzaddik. Right? Okay, I'm not sure that we need to go here with this, but if there's any one parish that you would go there with this, because he does do this in his parish Al HaTorah, to be sure. Right? All right, so because he is so filled with toch, which now gets into the word mirma, right? That's on his lashon, so that's why his mother is filled with so much anguish. Right? But are you still left with a question? Aren't you? No. Don't you have a parshanut question to ask? If he explains why his father loves the Chacham, he hasn't really fully explained why a child like this gives the mother more anguish than the father. Why shouldn't the father see this also and see and get and be anguished? Do you accept?
I just thought that like his point was that the mother is more involved, like she'll greater recognize the Tocha Mirma in his mishnah, like, because she's like more.
Okay, that's true. Definitely true about Rivka, right? Why do you think the Torah, the beginning of Toldos, says "Bas Besuel Harami, Padan Aram, Machos Levon Harami"? You know, not only that she would be able to recognize Ramaut more than Yitzchak, who is the son of Yitzchak, the son of Avram, the son of Sarah, where what you say is what you mean, and the truth is what you hear. But she was raised from her earliest days recognizing between truth and a lie.
Yeah, but it's not just...
And she would be able to come up with a bit of nice ruse herself if necessary.
No, I was just saying it because of, you know, truth and lie. Meaning the same way he says that, you know, meaning it's stereotypical that the father is the one taking the son's bashir. So in the, like, Shema B'ni Musar, V'yichav Bal Titash, well, they're the opposite. But meaning that that's, you know, atypical. But in the typical sense, the mother is the one more generally involved than mother. So, like, in terms of, like, raising her son to be properly mannered and
well-spoken,
it's the
mother. I'm not sure if I saw that explicitly. I'm trying to bring home a point. I'm trying to bring home a point here, is that if you see Rashi on the Pasuk, I don't know if your parish there has it, Rashi. It's Rashi that brings it out. It says, Ben Ksil Tugas Imo, Tamid Hu Im Imo Bebayis, V'ro'e Es Shtuso Mitziro. And Rashi does what the Rukeach does, but backwards. But so here's my point: is that I make it very clear in my footnotes all over, is that the Rukeach very much used Rashi on this.
Yeah.
Rashi is quoted very often, and in fact, I mean this is a heretofore unused source. Is that Rashi on the Bein Ksuvim is a Rashi on the Bein Ksuvim is not scientific yet, except in Shmuel, Cheskel, someone did it. I mean, not scientific, right?
I mean, there hasn't been like in
been an annotated and scientific text to Rashi on Mishlei yet. Now, there are plenty of good new materials, really some great stuff on Mishlei out there. And they are using new Kisveyat, and they're getting their hands on beautiful, but I'm talking about like what Berlin did to the Torah, right? You know, you take out like what Ezra did, what the Gemara says about with Tanakh, right? And to actually go through many Kisveyat, and to try to get your hands on contemporaries who quote him, right? But I'm not sure if this Tzaviyat is going to be such a reliable, precise quoter of Rashi. Rishonim get their reputations of how precise they are of quoting Rashi. Ramban, for instance, is such a precise quoter of Rashi. I'm just quoting by word for word. Right? Some need to give his quotes of Rashi the value as if though it's a Tzaviyat on its own. I don't know if I would render that. But Rashi, since Rashi already tells you why the Ben Seal should disappoint his mother more than his father, right? You're okay, I didn't feel the need to go there for you. Right? Now that's disingenuous of me. He quotes Rashi often enough. Why wouldn't he just quote this? So this is such a simple parshanut issue that that came up already, because father and mother are mentioned often in this book. Right? Okay, here he is, he's just trying to tell you what is the function of his chachma and his foolishness. Right? Okay? I wonder if you think it would be an interesting exercise to try to be your own rukeach. In other words, find... What if I told you to find something more about Yaakov and Esav in these pesukim? Are there any hints to Yaakov and Esav? Right? You know, to start from scratch, Esav is Gematria 376. See anything that's 376?
Yeah.
Shlomo is 375. You can always be one off, right?
Shlomo fades, which
stands for Ben. So I'm just saying the Rokeach finds an issue and then he'll beat the pasuk apart to find things that have to do with that. Okay, let's go to pasuk base. Lo yo'ilu otzros resha, very famous pasuk. Utzdakot tatzil mimaves. Right, what does the pasuk mean? Otzros resha means. So once Rashi already said in the pasuk before that this is talking about Yeravam ben Nevat, so all right, that gave him permission here to. Right? Of course, the first thing you always have to do before determining what he's saying is what's his source. Did he find this in Chazal someplace? So on any given pasuk, you always have to go through what's available for you in Mishlei. So we discussed this already. The Medrash Mishlei, right? And if you don't find something in Medrash Mishlei, you got to look through Torah Ksuva Vamasura and see where is this pasuk quoted in Chazal. So on this, your work is made very easy. There are books that do to Mishlei what the Torah Tzmimah does. You familiar with this? You know what I'm saying? The Torah Tzmimah will just give you all the Gemaras and it spells it out for you and then comments on it at the bottom. So if you want to know, is there a Gemara that attributes this pasuk to Yeravam? Because if there is, you better put it in your footnote. Right? Okay? So you have, that's a lot of work. But this book did a good favor for someone who wants to do this. And on this particular pasuk, the answer is no. Right? There is no Gemara that attributes this to... Right? Okay? So he says that Rasha ze haya Yerobam shehaya. What does he mean here? Mimishbachos? This is a very difficult thing here going on.
Is he from two different families, like his parents?
Yerobam shehaya mimishbachos? No, he left out a word here. Read on, and you see there's a word, there's clearly a word missing. V'haya mishtabeach ba'ashro shne'emar. Well, Asharti, of course. Alright, so for this. Right, he's talking to Tatsuya Novus, is the next pasuk. So you see that he's obviously skipped that whole space here. He doesn't go to the end of the line. Vayomer Ephraim Ach Osharti. Alright, so Shinemar means this is a pasuk.
Yeah.
What book do you need for this? You need a concordance, right? Okay, we're back to taping long, but Mishle Perek Yud Pasuk Beis is that all of the wealth that you accumulate, Yeravam, is not going to help you. Okay, what helps you? Tzedakah tatzel mimavis. What will help you is the tzedakah you give. Right? You see, it continues. V'im tomar tzadik hamevazbeiz nechasav litzdakah mehechan yitparnes. Right? Where will he have his parnas if he gives all his money to tzedakah? Not supposed to give more than a fifth of your income to tzedakah. Right? So, he gets into some...
How often does he use it?
It's a legitimate question to ask. Right. He skips right away to Yerav, to Yariv in the next pasuk. I think the reason why he does this, and look how he spells it in the next line. Right, Lo Yariv, because you see the word Yariv in the next pasuk. If you take out the Yud. It has the letters of Yerovam. See it? Very close to the name Yerovam. I don't know, it's hard to figure why he goes so far. But the fact is that Rashi himself said that this talks about Yerovam. Right? And Rashi, I don't know how I got this mistake to write Eich. Rashi also refers to this pasuk in Hosea. Right. He goes to the next pasuk. Lo Yariv. Yeah. Hashem.
What is that? Hashem, is that a good?
So, he, remember I told you that he writes Hashem's name different ways? So, he writes two yuds, sometimes three, with a crown on the top. Some kind of a crown. Lo Yariv Hashem Nefesh Tzadik. Right? Right. I'm going to have to stop the table here.